As we walk through the Psalms today, we come to Psalm 52, and I hope that you read it before you came in here this morning. It's always a good idea when you know what to expect in the Scriptures to look at them before you get here. But I have to say that for many people, this particular Psalm is very difficult to understand at the beginning, and that statement is like an invitation for a Bible teacher to come along and say, well, you need to not just read the Scripture, you need to study the Scripture. End of sermon. I have a little story to tell you that's related to this. It's not going to seem like it is, but just stay with me here. A few weeks ago, my daughter Debbie came from Gaithersburg to Frederick to have lunch with me, and the highway was very congested. So she was running behind, and she told me after she arrived, she said, because I was running behind, I put my Tesla on autopilot, and I let it drive me there. And I just did some other things for about 15 minutes in the car, and that blows my mind. I mean, maybe that says more about me than it does her, but I'm not ready for that kind of technology, at least not yet. Besides that, I thought, you know, if my children and my grandchildren own self-driving cars, they're going to lose muscle memory and skills needed to drive a car safely on their own. It's like this. I used to be a good pianist, and I also used to be a good organist. Jonathan, I actually, he said I used to be those things too. Oh, that was good. I actually majored in organ for a while in college, and I played 4 and 5 manual organs, and I accompanied the choir when we traveled, and I played in some of the biggest organs in the country. I can't do that anymore. Because I haven't played for years. No, I've played for recreation, but Elaine, you're shaking your head. You know what I'm talking. Elaine used to play the organ for us before you came along, and she told me the one time she doesn't play that much anymore. You lose the ability. I've lost the ability to do that the way it should be done. Okay, back to the Bible study. If all you do is listen to a sermon like this one or a lecture on the Bible or someone else reading the Word of God to you, you have put yourself on autopilot. And you're missing a lot of the benefits that God has for you in His Word. You need to dig into His Word and study His Word and be a good student of His Word. Are there any older people in here? You're still a student. It ain't over till the fat lady sings. Okay, now back to Psalm 52. There is an introductory statement about Psalm 52 in the Bible that gives us some background into why David wrote this psalm, and it is as clear as mud. Here's what it says. It says, to the choir master, I like that part because I used to be a choir director. It says, to the choir master, a maskil, a what? Of David. When Doeg, who? The Edomite, came and told Saul, quote, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. That's easy for me to say. Ahimelech. Who's he? What in the world is that all about? Well, here's a little Bible study. It says it's a maskil. A maskil was a song. And it was a song that was written, composed in order to try to teach wisdom about something. All right. And it mentions the name Doeg, the Edomite. Who is he? He was the head shepherd under King Saul for all of King Saul's sheep. He was in the inner court, so to speak. And we learned that in this introduction that Doeg went to King Saul and he told him that David was visiting the house of Ahimelech, who was Ahimelech, he was a Jewish priest who lived in Nob. And Nob is a very small place just north of Jerusalem. And why did David go there? Because David was running for his life. He had just slain Goliath, and the people loved it. And in fact, they liked David more than they liked Saul. It made Saul very jealous, and Saul decided that he was going to kill David. He was chasing David all over the countryside to kill him. And so David went into this place to get away from Saul. Did you follow all that? David was running for his life, and he went to Nob, and he went to the house of the priest Ahimelech. And Doeg happened to be there at that time and saw David there. So he ran over and he snitched to Saul. He said, David's over at the house of Ahimelech. That's what that introduction tells us. And David wrote a song about it called Psalm 52. And this psalm is directed to Doeg and to us. Now, when you're reading the Bible and you come across an event, sometimes that same event is talked about in another book of the Bible by a different writer. And it's helpful to look at the events. And this event is also found in 1 Samuel. And we read there that Ahimelech trembled when he saw David coming into his house for fear that Saul was going to come in and kill Ahimelech as well. And he asked David, he said, whoa, what do you want? And David said, bread. Please give me some bread. And so he did. And then David said, do you have any weapons here? I need a weapon to protect myself from King Saul. And Ahimelech's answer to David was very ironic, because it says in 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 9, it says, his answer was, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you struck down in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. Stop right there. Do you know what an ephod is? Well, Google it. We live in a wonderful world where Bible study has been made easy for people that have a computer. It say, Google, what's an ephod? An ephod was a ceremonial vestment worn by a Jewish priest. That's what it was, a linen vestment. And Ahimelech said, you want a weapon? I got a weapon for you. It's wrapped up in cloth behind my robe over there in the closet. And then he continued. He said, if you take it, take it, for there is none but that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it to me. If Netflix were telling this story, this would be a good place for a cliffhanger. But wait, there's more. It says, now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, the Edomite, the chief of Saul's herdsmen. And Doeg witnessed the whole thing, and yes, he went straight to Saul and he snitched. Another cliffhanger for Netflix. Well, when King Saul heard that the priest had helped David, he ordered his guard to go kill Ahimelech and his whole family. And the guard refused to do it because Ahimelech was a man of God. So Saul turned to Doeg, the informant, and he said, you do it. And now let me read to you what happened. 1 Samuel 22:18. And Doeg the Edomite turned and struck down the priest. And he killed on that day 85 persons who wore the linen. And Nob, the city of the priest, he put to the sword. Both man and woman and child and infant and ox and donkey and sheep, he put to the sword. That guy was an overachiever of the worst kind. So that is the horrific background of Psalm 52, which one commentator described as a painful prayer of David. Why? Not just because of the evil commanded by Saul or the extraordinary evil committed by Doeg, but the fact that David felt like he was guilty of causing all of this carnage. It's called false guilt. False guilt. And all of us have probably embraced it at some point in our lives, blaming ourselves for things for which we actually were not. That's another sermon. Let's stay on the topic. There's so much we could talk about in this story. Maybe we will someday. But we're supposed to be talking about David's response in Psalm 52. And David begins it this way. This is verse 1 of Psalm 52. Why do you boast of evil, O mighty man? You see, Doeg was boasting. All this carnage that he was going around, he was proud of himself. As bad as his actions were, the first thing that David accused Doeg of was being proud of himself for what he had done. David drew a bullseye. And the center of that bullseye was something that mankind knows very well. Pride. Have you ever heard of the seven deadly sins? It's a Roman Catholic doctrine dating from the 6th century. I'm going to read to you the seven sins in this doctrine. And as I do, I'm going to ask you to ask yourself some questions. Am I guilty of any of these? Here they are in order. Pride. Have you heard that one before? First one, pride. Wrath. Greed. Lust. Envy. Gluttony and sloth. Confession, I had to Google sloth. I wasn't sure I knew what that was. That's spiritual apathy. But part of the theology of the Roman Catholics on that list of seven sins is that it all starts with pride. Proverbs 16:18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And Jesus had a lot to say about pride, too. Again, there's so many tributaries to this story, but that's not what we're supposed to be talking about. So it's no wonder that David zeroed in on Doeg's boasting about himself and all of his achievements. But then David continued in verse 2 of Psalm 52. He said, Doeg, your tongue plots destruction like a sharp razor, you worker of deceit. You love evil more than good and lying more than speaking what is right. You love all words that devour, O deceitful tongue. Oh boy, David has exposed another weakness in all of us, but one which can be really bad in some of us. Confession, I've struggled with my tongue my entire life. I've struggled with keeping my mouth shut. When I should not say something, I tend to say it. And if you're honest with yourself, you've probably had moments like that too. And I'm reminded of James 3, beginning in verse 8. It says, but no human can tame the tongue. Whew! I am so relieved to know that nobody can tame the tongue. Does that let me off the hook? No. No human can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil. Ed, don't look at her when I say marriage counseling. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father. Did you hear that? With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. Did you hear that? I bet you've heard this before, but did you hear it? Read it again. With the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father. That's what we're here doing right now. Yes? And then it goes on, it says, but we leave here and we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. And he ends it, my brothers, these things ought not to be. How true. They ought not to be, but they are. But they are. It's subjects like that that just underscores our need for a Savior. We're sinners. You know, these words of David in Psalm 52 are actually a good description of what began in Genesis, and that is a battle between good and evil. It's been going on for a long time. And that battle seems to be eternal. But it's not. When all of the prophecies of the book of Revelation are fulfilled, it will be over. But not until then. For now, you and I live in a world of battles. We just don't have a choice. And you know, those battles reach every level of our lives. I mean, think about this. Neighbors argue over landscaping. They argue over property lines. They argue over paint colors. Good versus evil. Children rebel against their parents. Not me, of course, but good versus evil. Wives and husbands get divorced. They make vows before God to be married for eternity, and then they break the vows and they're divorced. Good versus evil, it's a battle. I've even known members of church committees to get angry and fight with each other over this or that. Can you imagine such a thing? For God so loved the world that he did not send a committee. And I don't have to tell you that you are in a battle of good versus evil within yourself. The Bible makes it very clear that you and I are in a constant battle of flesh versus spirit. Flesh versus spirit is a constant battle. But, thank God there's a but. But this isn't the kind of but you may think it is. Psalm 52 continues. It says, but David to Doeg, God will break you down forever. He will snatch and tear you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and sought refuge in his own destruction. In other words, in the end, God wins. Hallelujah. In the end, God wins. Good versus evil. Good wins over evil. Praise the Lord for that. You and I have come to know that through God's Word. We've learned it from God the Father. We've learned it from God the Son. We've learned it from the Holy Spirit. But knowing that is only a part of the picture. The truth is that each of us can have one foot in God's camp and the other foot in the other camp, trying to juggle all this stuff. We have to constantly remember that we belong to Jesus and we need to act like it. Amen. I hope I don't burst any bubbles here. Well, maybe I do hope I burst some bubbles here. I want you to listen carefully to the lyrics of a very popular song. Frank Sinatra made this song a classic. He said, "And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear. I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this. I did it my way." Talk about boasting. That is so self-centered. But wait, there's more. This is the last verse. Listen carefully to these words. "For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not. To say these things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows, and I did it my way." Instead of Frank Sinatra and several other people who've sung that song, those words could have come out of the mouth of Doeg after the slaughter in Nob. And David rebuked him. He rebuked him big time in Psalm 52. Now, before I go on, you'll find this interesting. That song became Frank Sinatra's signature song. But after he died, his daughter, Tina, was interviewed, and this is a quote from the interview. She said, "Dad came to hate that song. That song stuck, and he could not get it off his shoe. He always thought that song was self-serving and self-indulgent." Amen to that. I was so pleased to read that. But it has become a personal testimony for countless people over the 60 years since it was first introduced. Conceit and boasting, my way or the highway. Do you ever know anybody like that? And it didn't start with Frank Sinatra. With that in mind, let's hear David's testimony in the last two verses of Psalm 52. He says, "But I am like a green olive tree. I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the steadfast love of God forever and ever." Okay, here's a little bit more Bible study, all right? The olive tree in the Bible is filled with significance. It's a major symbol in the Bible, well known for all the good that the olive tree produces. In fact, it's from Genesis to Revelation. There's more stuff in there about the olive tree than we have time to talk about. So David's testimony of his being like an olive tree is just pregnant with meanings. And notice where he takes it. He does not say, "I am like an olive tree in terms of all the good that I can provide." That would be boasting. Instead, he said he was like an olive tree in that I trust in the steadfast love of God. That is the heart of David's testimony. And he, like us, lived in this world in which we find ourselves, with a battle between good and evil going on in his life all the time. Ask yourself, is it my way or is it God's way? Furthermore, David did not just say that he trusts in the love of God. He said, I trust in the steadfast love of God, fixed, immovable, the eternal love of God. I hope you remember that we talked about that last Sunday in Psalm 51. Can you imagine how much worse this world would be without God's steadfast love? It reminds me of the words of the very first psalm in the Bible, which says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Now listen, it then says, he is like a tree. There it is. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Oh, I want us to be like that. I want that to be our testimony, brothers and sisters. Not just his and hers and mine, but everybody. I want the world to see us like a tree planted deeply in God. Okay, David closes the psalm. This is the last verse of Psalm 52. He says, Lord, I will thank you forever because you have done it. I will wait for your name, for it is good in the presence of the godly. Sometimes all we can focus on is when things do not go our way. And we forget the goodness that God gives to us each and every day. Each and every hour of each and every day. Let's repent of that, okay? Let's repent of that. And let's remember to thank him every day for the blessings and goodness of that day, no matter what's happening. So let's be like an olive tree, deeply planted in the Word of God, and rejoice in God's steadfast love for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your love that is steadfast, for your faithfulness, for being with us in the battles that we face in this life. May we rejoice in you. May we find our strength in you. May we live for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.